And back to Chicago now, where it seems they've got more news than even snow at the moment. One of the papers announced at the conference earlier this week investigated the effect of crude oil in tuna fish embryos and specifically how it could impact on their hearts. Researchers hope that this work could explain how large oil spills such as the Deepwater Horizon disaster in 2010 impact on spawning sites. Chris Smith spoke to Barbara Block from Stanford University and Nathaniel Schultz from NOAA Fisheries.
The point of the study was to identify mechanisms of crude oil toxicity in fish. No research spanning the past two decades has shown that the developing hearts of fish embryos and larvae are very susceptible to the toxic effects of different types of crude oils. And so the goal with the partnership with Stanford was to better understand and specifically identify what were the underlying causes of these heart-related effects in fish.
So you made the observation in fish that you see these abnormalities, but you didn't know, Barbara, why they were happening.
We knew that oil impacts the conduction pathways in the heart, but we didn't really know at the cellular level what was the mechanism.
So how did you start this, Nat?
Well, we came down and showed a lot of our data on whole embryos and showed what we call the injury phenotype, which are effects of oil on heart rate. Crude oil will slow down the heartbeat, and then at higher concentrations cause these arrhythmias.
The beating of the heart goes wrong.
The beating of the heart, exactly. And then shared those observations with the Stanford team, who are experts in cardiac physiology and heart muscle cell function.
So you're presented with fish that have hearts that beat abnormally slowly or in a completely abnormal way in the presence of oil. How did you pursue that?
These wonderful gentlemen called me up and asked, why would a heart slow down in the presence of crude oil? We'd been studying tuna hearts in relationship to climate. And when they asked me that question, I thought it must be impacting the same pathway that we're studying, because it turns out temperature can actually slow down the heart. So we actually took their lead. We set up electrophysiological experiments to directly measure the ion flow in and out of a heart cell. We pith the tuna. We then remove the heart. We enzymatically isolate the heart cells. And then we bathe the cells in solutions that keep them happy, and the heart cells will beat and pace normally. We then expose them to oil. We then use sophisticated electrophysiological techniques where we can actually measure the current, the electrical current flowing in and out of a heart cell. And it's that electrical current as a syncytium in a whole heart that gives you a heartbeat. We measure it, we put on the oil, and then if it blocks, we can define that block.
What changed about the nature of the electrical activity in those heart cells when you put the oil on?
Remarkably, when oil comes in contact with a living heart cell, it decreases the ability of the heart cell to beat. The switch of turning on and off is slowed down, and the contractility, the force with which a heart cell beats, is reduced.
Why?
Oil impacts critical ion channel pathways. It blocks the pore through which the ions are flowing and simply shuts down the pathway for these ions to bring about their normal physiological rhythms in a heart cell.
So extrapolating those findings to the environment, Nat, what do you think the implications are?
Well, it's a huge missing piece of the puzzle for us in the research that we've done for 20 years. In essence, nailing down precisely the mechanism that explains why we're seeing the slowed heartbeats and irregular heartbeats in the intact fish embryo. So understanding this mechanism for us is very important because it's a clear link now between individual heart muscle cells, the intact organ itself, and then the health and survival of these embryos that we have been studying in response to crude oil.
So if there's a lot of oil in the environment, it's going to impact on fish development and the likelihood of them reaching adulthood and therefore population.
That's the idea, and the implications of this work go well beyond oil spills. We do a lot of work on these same compounds that are also found in urban stormwater runoff and other environmental sources of PAHs.
So when these things are in the water, the rate at which they get into the body of a fish could therefore determine how likely it is to be affected. So when we have an oil spill, we very often spray detergents and things onto the oil to disperse it. Does that actually mean, paradoxically, we're driving more of these chemicals into marine species like fish?
It's complicated. We've mostly been focusing on fish embryos, and the uptake for fish embryos is relatively simple because they take up these dissolved compounds directly across the eggshell. The uptake pathways are more complicated for older fish, and then, of course, in older fish, they have protective machinery in the form of metabolism and metabolic capacity via the liver.
Now, Barbara, if we extrapolate this out of the water and into the air, because, of course, the other place where you find these chemicals that are in crude oil, but equally they're in exhaust fumes of cars, is people breathing in pollution, and we know there's an association between heart problems. When you have a bad air day, you also have a bad heart attack day. Do you think there could be a correlation between what you're finding in the fish and those observations on what happens to people?
We think that smog and the presence of exhaust products that come from petroleum are carrying the same potential negative effects on cardiac function that we've measured in the crude oil impacts on bluefin tuna heart cells. Bluefin tuna are Olympians. They've got heart cells that function at the level of mammals. Doing it in a tuna, it was very easy to leap to a mammal and think about the human impacts of pollutants on our own cardiac physiology.
Barbara Block from Stanford University and Nathaniel Schultz from NOAA Fisheries there, speaking to Chris Smith. And they published that work this week in the journal Science.